Welcome to the Sexual Mindfulness Project podcast, where we talk about creating an intentional relationship and how to find joy in slowing down, letting go of judgment, and connecting more deeply with your partner. I'm Dr. Shalom Levitt, and today I'm here with Amber Price, Rebecca Clark, and Jenna Lawler. Okay, welcome to this podcast. Today we're talking about giving and receiving, kind of in the theme of Christmas. We're talking about how we give and receive in our relationships, and most particularly in our sexual relationship. So I guess one way that I like to think of this is with the example of giving gifts, or maybe even giving a compliment. We know that there's kind of some protocol around it. When we receive a gift, we often teach our children to be grateful, to say thank you, to show appreciation for the effort that that person made, even if it's not a gift that we really were hoping for. And then when we give, we think about what that person receiving the gift, what their needs are. And so when we use that example in a sexual relationship, we can see the similarities that we need to be grateful when our partner initiates sex. And even if it's something that we don't feel up to at the moment, we can still be gracious about it. We can still appreciate their efforts at initiating and being vulnerable to talk about their desires of wanting that physical intimacy. And when we're giving, we need to think about the other person. It's not just because we have a physical desire or need, although that's a very important aspect of it. We also need to think about the circumstances that our partner is experiencing and what would be best for them. Let me ask each of you, what is the role of giving and receiving in a relationship, and why is it so important?
I think, like you said, Shalom, that a gift represents someone's effort toward you and someone's thought toward you. And so I think the importance of receiving is that we be wise and generous receivers as well as givers. Sometimes I think generosity is almost more important on the receiving end, in a way, where we look at intentions and we might look past the, you know, we all have those moments of maybe somebody, like you said, with the gift giving metaphor, with like a child giving you a gift that they worked so hard on or something. And it's like, because of the imperfections, the beauty, that's where the beauty of the gift is, because of their efforts. And so I think it's just important to be generous in that reception. When someone gives you a gift, it's yours to do with it what you would like, if the gift is truly and freely given. But being as generous as you can in that reception, if you're going to use it differently, like, for example, if it's not a good night for you, then just being as generous as possible in your reception. But I think receiving in sex has as much to do with good sex as giving does.
Kind of along those same lines, I was thinking, you know, it can be easy when your partner approaches you and wants to initiate sex to think, I guess I'm gender stereotyping here and thinking from a woman's perspective, that, you know, you maybe have been giving and giving and giving all day, and it feels like, oh, you just want me to give again, just one more thing. And maybe if you can take a step back and frame it as, maybe my partner's not wanting to take from me. Maybe my partner is wanting to give to me. And maybe I could open myself up to receiving in this situation and just kind of flip it on its head like that. And that doesn't mean that it's always going to be something that you want right then or whatever, but just maybe acknowledging that sometimes it is more about your partner wanting to give rather than take.
I think that's a really good point, Amber. And I think maybe that even opens up a topic of conversation that couples could engage in. If sex feels like it's always a bit of a chore, or it's work, or it's something that you're giving, even when your partner initiates, that might be something that the two of you could talk about. Like, how could this just be more mutually enjoyable? So it doesn't feel like the burden that sometimes it may. And that may mean taking a step back from intercourse each time and saying, how can we just be in each other's presence and maybe discuss some emotional things that have been a burden to me? or something I'm struggling with. Somehow there's a little distance in our relationship. So this interaction of sex doesn't seem joyful. It seems a little bit depleting. And so that might be something that would be a good exercise for couples to do.
I would add to the interplay of giving and receiving that research shows that when couples feel gratitude towards each other, when they not only feel that gratitude, but also express it to each other, they're more willing to meet their partner's sexual needs. And I think that's beautiful because when a partner is receiving and feeling that gratitude and really being open to what their partner is giving them, it then becomes a reciprocal act where, you know, your partner is giving this to you, you feel grateful for it, and then you're willing to meet their needs as well. So you're just willing to meet each other's needs more when you're willing to receive. And I think that it's just a circle that can circle back and be a real strength in your sexual relationship.
I love that, Jenna. I think sometimes we get caught in patterns, and so often they're negative patterns, right? Where we're kind of dismissing each other or not being grateful. But you're exactly right. I think we can get caught in these positive patterns that just continue to help our relationship deepen and grow by little acts like showing gratitude or making a sacrifice or just saying thank you. So what do you guys think about cultural presumptions of giving and receiving? Like the patterns we just described, sometimes we get caught in these negative patterns of the dynamics of sex. This idea that men are always the ones who should initiate and women are the gatekeepers of sex. What about those cultural presumptions and how can we overcome those?
I was thinking about some research as well that tackled this very question about, is it good to be giving in the bedroom is, I think, the title of it. And they found that the couples who were healthiest had a balance between an appropriate measure of thoughtfulness and generosity toward giving to their partner, but also a measure of receiving as well. And I think it's important, like you were talking, Shalom, about these are opportunities to talk to each other. And like Amber mentioned, like, is there one partner who's always feeling depleted, who always feels like they're giving too much? Where's the balance in your own relationship? Relationships change so much and relationships are so dynamic that I think just talking about that, you know, what is your dynamic right now? How does it feel? Like you mentioned, Shalom, is someone always having to initiate? Is the same person always having to make that effort, to make the bid for having sex? And where's the teeter-totter in a sense? And what moves could be made and changes could be made, just little alterations that would maybe fight that cultural kind of presumption that we sometimes enter, that sometimes enters into our own relationships, and it doesn't need to be there.
I don't know if this really fits exactly with the cultural thing, but I just kind of have rolling around in my mind just how I think we kind of all know we need to give in sex. I don't know, maybe that part's natural, but I wonder about the receiving in sex. I wonder if that's a little bit harder sometimes. And just maybe because it really is opening yourself up to true intimacy and vulnerability. And it's kind of just making me think about some of the research that we've just been starting to work on. And just this idea that when you silence your own needs or wants, you're actually really hindering your own emotional intimacy and your own connection and ability to have a good relationship or sexual relationship. And it's important to acknowledge your own needs and desires and to allow your partner to give and then to be a willing recipient to receive in ways that you want to receive and to communicate that. And it builds this intimacy that you're not going to find in other ways. It can be pretty powerful, probably.
I have a couple funny examples. I mean, first of all, I watch movies and I see these intimate scenes, you know, where they are going to fall into bed and all it takes is just like a look or a glance and suddenly everything explodes and they're, you know, in the middle of this very intimate scene. And I think that's one of the presumptions that we have to overcome, that really happens in a real relationship. It just doesn't. And a lot of times there's a little bit of build up, like a little distance that's been created. And so what we have to do is overcome those little buildups that have created distance in our relationship. I remember this one really old therapist. So this was back decades ago. And this isn't good advice. I'm going to give this as, you know, advice that you should not take. But they were talking to some couples who were struggling to initiate sex with each other. And the therapist's suggestion was to put a candlestick on the mantle if you were open to having sex, and that would be the indicator that you would like to have sex that night. Well, we know from lots of research, since then, that probably one of the bigger issues in relationships where people are struggling to initiate are things like vulnerability and a willingness to communicate these really sensitive thoughts. And so that's probably some of the steps that we need to take to help relationships where one partner really struggles to initiate sex. It's not just putting a candlestick on the mantle to say, yep, I'm open for sex today. What's more helpful is for this couple to work on their communication patterns and to learn to be more vulnerable and open with each other.
I think that gets at another kind of element of giving and receiving that we've talked about, how sex can sometimes kind of be a microscope, looking closely at like a micro level of a macro phenomenon in your relationship. And it might be that if you have a pattern, like a sexual pattern that feels out of balance, it might be that there's a larger pattern that's out of balance in your relationship, where if one person is doing all of the giving and all of the effort making, that's really important to tune into that, because that might be something to pay attention to, like you're talking about, Shalom, communicate about in terms of like the larger elements. And then on the other hand, sometimes sex turns into a place where people try to balance power. If they're feeling powerless, then they try to even further not relinquish any kind of power. And so hold on to it for that reason, to sort of try to balance maybe out a dysfunctional pattern out that way. So I think it's important to not only look at and talk about what is happening if there's a giving and receiving imbalance, because the healthiest, of course, is where you strike that balance of you feel like you're giving and you feel like you're able to receive. And then that's when people are happiest. But if there's an imbalance, I think it would be important to look at that not only sexually, but in other maybe areas of the relationship as well.
Yeah, I like that idea that you're talking about, Rebecca, that sex often can just mirror problems that are occurring in our larger relationship. And so it really is a nice little flag to us to say, well, if this is happening in sex, this might be happening in other areas of our life too. And so why don't we just have a conversation about it? When we try to create this tension or these power plays in our relationship with sex, like you said, that's often an indicator that power plays are occurring in other areas of the relationship. That's the one thing that we want to overcome. Because truthfully, sex is this beautiful experience of sharing our bodies with each other so that we can also communicate on this deeper emotional level and this deeper spiritual level, right? Where we're understanding the meaning that we're creating in our sexual experience.
I really like the word sharing. I think that's an important word to keep in mind when we think about giving and receiving in a sexual relationship. I think it feels less vulnerable and maybe more true to think about a sexual experience as sharing with each other. It's not giving something that will be taken from me forever or vice versa. I can't take something from an unwilling giver. And so I think that thought of, if we kind of maybe flip into that mindset of sharing, that we're both giving, we're both receiving, it's really sharing for the sake of the relationship, not really for the sake of the individual. So I really like that word, Shalom.
That just made me think of, you know, I'm thinking about when we serve others outside, you know, just I'm talking about any relationship that you have. Sometimes it's real easy to want to serve somebody else, to do something for somebody else when they're struggling. It's really easy to show up and give. It can be harder to be on the flip side of that and to be the receiver when, you know, when you're struggling and you might need some help or whatever. And I was just thinking, as Rebecca was talking, how much though does the relationship build when you have that situation with someone where you do both the giving and the receiving? You know that when your friend is struggling, you're going to show up to help in that situation, and that the roles will be reversed, and it just deepens the relationship. And I think that that carries through this marital relationship as well.
Yeah, I like that. So how can we be better at receiving? You know, we gave the example of someone who struggles to receive a compliment, and it just seems, and how that makes the person giving the compliment feel a little embarrassed, maybe, that they even gave the compliment. So how can we be better at receiving this gift of sexual initiation, or this gift of just our partner saying, I desire you. I would like to spend, you know, some physically intimate, close time with you. How can we be better at receiving?
One thought that I have is to really accept that I am a sexual being. And I think when a person is able to really accept that as who they are, as a part of who they are, you know, we are all emotional beings, we're all spiritual beings, we're all sexual beings. And so being willing to say, yes, I am sexual and I have needs, I have sexual desires, and really being open to that, I feel like is going to maybe improve what I would call your sexual self-esteem, where you're okay with having sexual desires. And then when your partner wants to meet those needs, you're more willing to accept those because you recognize that it's good. And that's something that is going to nourish your sexual being.
I wonder if some of it just needs to be a little bit of like self-reflection and confrontation of like, what is it that might be hindering me from receiving? You know, like what are the barriers that I have up and why? And that just might take some time to kind of work through and think about.
Yeah, I mean, just like the example we gave of the person who can't take a compliment, oftentimes it's just because they feel really insecure or they, you know, they're struggling with some element of who they are. And so they don't want to hear anything positive about themselves. That may be the same in a sexual relationship. And it may be a number of things, right? It may be a power play. It may be some unresolved emotions. But just like Amber said, there's a good, you know, little red flag to us that could indicate we just need to take some time to think about that. Maybe even journal about it. Write down what it is that comes to your mind when your partner initiates and you feel a little resistant. Why the resistance? Be a little curious about that. Do some self-evaluation and write it down because that will help us process it. Well, so in this season, I hope that we all can take a look at how we give and how we receive and be generous with your partner. Find time to share these really physically intimate moments so that you can strengthen and develop the bonds of a strong relationship. That's it for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Sexual Mindfulness Project. And subscribe to our website, shalomlevitt.com, to stay up to date with the latest information on sexual mindfulness. Thanks for listening.